You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast. Encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question right now, and I want you to answer it honestly. It's a challenging question. When Christ returns, what will he find you doing? And will he find you faithful? Let's go now to the Word of God, Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read verses 14 through 30. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who will use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this is a powerful portion of Scripture, and there's a lot that can be gleaned from this. In fact, I've preached on this before, but from a different angle than what I'm going to use right now. So there's a lot to be said here about stewardship. There's a lot to be said here about how the Lord entrusts us. But I want you to consider the primary context here. This parable is about the return of Christ. And yes, all of those other truths still hold. But the primary truth here is that when Christ returns, he wants to see what you've done with what he's given to you. Notice the wording here, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is the same wording that we hear when we approach the Lord in his throne on the day that we stand before him after this life is gone. And we stand before him, I want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Notice also that wicked and lazy are used together. There is something wicked about laziness. But still, we have to consider this reality. Jesus is coming. The master's returning. He went away on a long trip. He gave us assignments. He gave us something to steward. Now, you notice here that the master never gave these servants specific instructions on what they were to do with what he gave them. In life, we have general instructions from the Lord. Live holy. Worship sincerely, pray consistently, evangelize boldly, love one another unconditionally. These are commands in Scripture that guide our lives. But as far as some of the specifics go, God just wants you to be a good steward, to treat well that which he has given to you. When Christ returns, it will be like the strike of lightning. It will be sudden, unexpected. People will be carrying on with their everyday business, and the servants of God will be doing whatever it is that they're doing. He will not announce when he comes. Sure, there are signs that indicate to us the seasons, but he will not announce that day or the hour. Will he find you faithful? I want you to consider that, because this is a challenge to you now. I think sometimes it becomes a habit to say amen or to respond in the affirmative when a preacher gives us something that we've heard before and we like the way it sounds. But I want you to really, truly, honestly, deeply consider the question. When he returns, what will he find you doing? When he returns, will he find you faithful? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says this, "And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame." What a tragic thing that a believer, at the sight of the one who they love, would shrink back in shame. 1 John is written to the children of God. And yet, this portion of Scripture is cautioning us, the children of God, to live our lives properly so that we don't shrink back in shame when he returns, so that we don't have to say, "Lord, I could have done more. Lord, I wish I would have obeyed more. Lord, I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have evangelized more. I wish I would have treated my spouse better. I wish I would have treated my children better. I wish I would have taken care of what you've given me." And everybody has been given something. You have time, you have resources, you have relationships, you have influence. You have things that God has given to you. And whether he's given you a lot or a little, all of us are held accountable for what he has given to us. I don't want to experience this tragedy of shrinking back in shame, saying, "Lord, I was afraid to make a move. Lord, I was afraid to make a decision. Lord, I was afraid to commit. Lord, I was afraid of messing up, so I did nothing instead. Lord, I was afraid you'd be upset with me if I accidentally missed your will for the day, so I did nothing every day. Lord, I was afraid that I might lose what you gave me, so I did nothing with it." God would rather have you on the move in faith than standing still in fear. It's how he guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us as we go. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, "I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" If where you are in life right now doesn't require faith, I can assure you that you're not in the will of God. If where you are in life right now doesn't require that you rely upon him and his power, then I can assure you that you're not in the will of God. When God calls us, he calls us to a life of faith, not a life of comfort. To a life of risk, not a life of certainty. To a life of his lordship, not a life where we pursue our own dreams for our lives. God has called us to lay down our lives, to follow him, to trust and obey. So when he comes, will he find faith? Or will he find that you've been living in doubt, afraid to make a move, afraid to do something for him, afraid to open your mouth and share, afraid to lay hands on the sick, afraid to confront the demonic, afraid to do anything for God because you didn't want to do it wrong? I know this may seem harsh, and to some this might be offensive, but I'm telling you this because I sincerely, truly, honestly love you. And I don't want to know that anyone I've ever preached to is going to go and stand before God to judge them without having heard the truth, even believers. Now, what's interesting to me is that this portion of Scripture we read, that parable, is a reference to the return of Christ. And I want you to notice that when the Lord finds his servants faithful, he gives them more. "You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities." Now, wait a minute. Think about this for a moment. This is a parable about the end times. We know this because Jesus says as much in the following verses and in the parables he used that were preceding this. So he says to them, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's our other clue, but he tells them, you've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. When Christ returns and this timeline of history comes to an end, when we stand before him and give an account for our lives, even after that, there are responsibilities that he will give to us. This means in eternity, there are assignments. In eternity, there are things to steward. What does that tell me? It's quite simple. The earth is just the training ground for heaven. The earthly things he gives to us, the earthly cares he gives to us, are just training to test us to see what we can handle on the other side of eternity. What marvelous things await us there, I don't know. But I do know with certainty that there will be more responsibilities that he gives to us. I don't want to live this short span of time and then get to heaven and find that I missed so much. I don't want to get to heaven and have to look back on my life and wonder, why didn't I give myself more to him? Why didn't I obey him more often? Why didn't I just trust him? Why didn't I just act in faith? When he returns, I don't want to shrink back in shame. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, and I want to receive the heavenly responsibilities that God will give me to steward throughout all of eternity. 1 John 3:3 says, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. I want to live right. Not just in public, but in secret, because that's when he's watching too. What will he find you doing? Will he find that you have bitterness in your heart? Will he come at the hour of your pain? Will he catch you in a secret sin? Will you wish you had more time to do more for him? Will you regret and want to do over? Will you regret the wasted time? Will he find you being diligent or being lazy? Will he find that you did what he asked you to do, or will he find that you are full of excuses? Will you be joyful or filled with dread at the coming of your Savior when you look into those eyes of fire? Will your excuses hold up? When you look into those eyes of fire, the cares of this world matter anymore, or will you want to say to him, I did everything I could. I gave everything I had.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.